2 Corinthians 10, 3-5, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. The title of this message is The Assault and Battle for Your Mind. Yeah, it's not an Advent message. You know, this past week, Sunday night into Tuesday, I felt a weight. It was a heaviness. My mind was under attack. I was questioning my work. I was questioning my provision. I was questioning the path forward. And I could feel these thoughts coming from the outside. And at the same time, my princess, my precious Caitlin, she had a medical appointment this past week, and she had something removed off her skin. And going into that, I felt things were fine there. But at the appointment, Jen was told by the doctor that it could be melanoma. And that's what my father passed away from. So that threw us for a loop. Praise the Lord, it's not, right? Praise the Lord, it's not. But at the potential of a bad report, the bombardment began. The thoughts began, you know, where you start going down the proverbial rabbit hole. And I realized we were both being assaulted in our mind. The enemy of our soul, Satan, wanted us to start believing the lies, to believe the bad reports, questioning God of his faithfulness, his grace. And it made me think all the more this past week, this battle for the mind, because our mind is under constant assault. So I know the Lord led me down this path to share this. Because if you can buy the lies from the enemy, he's going to get you off path. And those are lies. They could be about your past. I personally believe part of the thorn that was in Paul's side, the flesh, was the enemy constantly bringing up his past, who he was, not who he is. Anybody that's in Christ is a new creation. Amen?
Amen.
They could be about your future, the lies about your future. It's very important for us as believers to hold to the truth. Don't listen to any other voice other than God's Spirit that is speaking to you to keep your focus. Because there are plenty of other voices out there. The voices of this world are vying for your attention. The world system and Satan want to deceive you. Remember, the world system is to work against the Christian and to thwart God's plans. Satan is the god of this world. He is a thief. He is a murderer. He is the father of lies. He is a deceiver since the start, and he is a deluder of the truth. And he works blatantly in the wickedness of this world, and he works covertly in disguise through the world systems that many are blind to. He also uses the false religions of the world. They're all under his power. He's the prince of the power of the air. And he can appear as an angel of light when needed. And he can be despicable as it so suits him, does it not? Serpent. Ephesians 6:11 says we must know of his schemes, his tactics. He's a lion he's like a roaring lion stalking his prey. He likes to throw out the temptation to you. He's definitely the accuser of the brethren. Who are you? Who are you to share the truth? That's right. It's the lie. Deception. Deception. We must not give him advantage. It's like the garden, right? Surely you won't die. Liar! Liar! Imp empty promise after empty promise. He makes it look good. And so do many of the leaders of this world who are of their father, the devil. We are in a spiritual war, folks. It is a spiritual war. It is a battle for your mind. Paul said, if though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Paul admits that we are flesh and blood. We are human, are we not? And just as we are flesh and blood, so too was Paul. And we have struggles, just as there were things that the Corinthian Christians struggled with. But Paul makes it clear that we don't war according to the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not material. They're spiritual. They're suited for spiritual war. You're not using swords and spears, nor do we use manipulation or deceitful ways. Those are the ways of the world. Those are the way of Satan. Ephesians 6, right? What does he say? Be strong in the Lord, verse 10, and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers, authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. That's why he says you need to use spiritual weapons, a belt of truth, a breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, your offensive weapon. Your offensive weapon, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. To rely on spiritual weapons takes faith. Now faith. Not carnal methods. You know, when Jesus came for salvation, Philippians 2 says, in verse 6, says, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even to the death of the cross. That kind of victory, humble obedience, it's offensive to the world. It's contrary to its ways. Even the Jewish leaders didn't get it. They wanted a warrior king. We will see that. Revelation 20 talks about it. But he first had to come as a sacrificial lamb for sin, for the inside. The human way, the carnal way, is to overpower. It's to dominate. It's to manipulate. It's to outmaneuver. Yet Jesus is humble. He says, what does he say to you? Humble yourself. Die to self. Let God, it's not your strength, not by strength, not by might, but by the Spirit of God. Let God use his resurrection power through you. He could have called an army of angels to incinerate all those around him at the cross. Yet he loved us and gave himself for us to redeem us. The spiritual weapons that we are to use, the world laughs at it. You know what? But the demonic powers fear it. They fear it. Satan doesn't want you to pray. You ever notice when you do pray, all of a sudden these thoughts start coming at you to try to get you off target? Wow, where did that come from? Even after the armor, what does Paul say? Praying with all supplication for the saints. The spiritual weapons are mighty, mighty, right? Mighty for pulling down strongholds. Wrong thoughts, wrong perceptions, contradicting the true knowledge of God and the nature of God. That's those strongholds. These strongholds are arguments of every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And what it does is it tries to set down deep roots in your heart and in your mind, and then it can influence your actions and your thinking. And it's hard to let go when you start going down that path. When you start going down the way of the world, it's a slippery slope. But God's power can break those strongholds. That word stronghold in the Greek is okuruma, which is stronghold, which is a fortress. That's what Satan wants to create, a fortress. In fact, the definition goes on and says they are these strongholds. They are anything on which one relies of the arguments and reasonings by which a disputant endeavors to fortify his position, his opinion, and defend it against his opponent. That is what Satan does, doesn't he? He wants to fortify his opinion, to build a fortress to get you to doubt God, to doubt him. You cannot let him get a foothold. If you receive or listen to the wrong report, the lie, it gets into your heart and mind, and it can lead you down a path of fear, a path of hopelessness. But praise God, strongholds can be pulled down. That's why we raise a hallelujah, right? They are arguments, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. See, the ways of the world, the thinking and doing, are arguments against the mind, the ways of God, the methods of God. They want to debate God, saying there's a better way. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. They are so much higher. Yeah. We're these little finite beings, a speck. Yet he loves us. Yeah. They exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. They think of themselves as smarter, more effective, more sophisticated, more powerful than God's ways. They think they know more than God does. And God is always two steps ahead, if not more. Amen. Doesn't that go back to the garden?
Yes.
The original lie? You can know better. You can determine what is good and evil. You can be as God. That's why you have to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Amen. They're brought captive. You can choose to stop those thoughts and bring them into captivity to the obedience of Christ. The thoughts of lust, the thoughts of anger, the thoughts of fear, the thoughts of greed, bitter thoughts, evil thoughts, thoughts of hatred. They must be brought. When you start to go down that path, you have to stop your thought process and take dominion over them in Jesus' name. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's after he said, I beseech you, brethren, that you give your bodies as a holy living sacrifice, your reasonable service, right? Do not be conformed to this world. This warns us that the world system itself, this culture that we exist in, not just here in America, but the world itself. It's a rebellion against God and his ways. And it will try to conform us into this ungodly pattern. That must be resisted. Satan is coming against this generation, folks. The attack, the bombardment is all around. It's to eradicate anything of God. It's to erase him. And there is a huge downward pull to conform to society now. This world is on a collision course with God Almighty. So blessed to see you, sister. We prayed for you this morning. Do you not understand there are so many believers who just think, well, life is back to normal again. It's business as usual. Have you forgot about the last 3 years? It's not business as usual. Far from it. That's the lie. There there is a siege, a bombardment of the mind. There's an assault on the faithfulness of God. Did God really say? That goes back to the garden again, doesn't it? You replace those thoughts with God's thoughts. That's why you need the word. It says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is the opposite of being conformed to the world. The battleground between conforming to the world and being transformed is within the mind of the believer. That's the battlefield right here. That's why you need the helmet. What does Paul say? He says, put on the mind of Christ. That means you have to think differently than the world. You swim against the currents of the world. You've been called. You've been chosen. You're to swim against the currents of the world. And the current is strong. But so many Christians today live their life based on feelings. It's how I feel about something. It's how I feel about my job. It's how I feel about my spouse. It's how I feel about worship. It's how I feel about the preacher. It's how I feel about the church. It's okay to have feelings, but it's not to come over the truth of God. The question is, it's not how you feel, it's what does God's word say? Amen. What is truth? Didn't Pilate ask that? When you renew your mind with truth, there's a transformation that happens. It's a metamorphosis. It's like the cocoon, the caterpillar becoming the butterfly. That's what that word means. It's the same word that Jesus in his transfiguration. And because of that, you can prove what is good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Through your life, it becomes an outward manifestation. As shared, you need to take everything that's being said, every thought, and line it up with God's word. Test it against the word of God. That's why you have to study to show yourself approved. Right? A workman needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You need the truth. You need the truth. And you need to get a hold of it now. Because Amos says what? There'll be a famine. There's going to be a famine of the word of God. And as we see AI and technology become more prominent in this world, I do believe it is going to try to undermine the integrity of the word of God. Again, go back to what Satan said. Did God really say? Did God really say? The world itself is absorbing darkness, and it is devastating to many individuals. It's devastating to churches who have not been prepared to stand fast. And many are succumbing to the pressures of the growing evil that's being forced on them from all sides. You think it's bad now, just wait. There is an overwhelming sense just to go along with the currents of this world just so we can all get along. Coexist, right? That stupid bumper sticker, right? There's not going to be peace on earth. This was said last week. Until Christ is ruling and reigning. In fact, the opposite will occur. Read Matthew 24. Read Revelation 6-19. But evil is so blatant now. It's so outright. It can't be avoided. No matter where you go. The darkness of the day and the evil that's ramping up, its goal is suppression of truth, suppression of righteousness, along with the destruction of countless souls. There's a seemingly powerful deception and delusion that has mesmerized the multitudes. We're not even in the Thessalonians part, where God sends great delusion. Many are confused. Some are frightened. They're angry. Some are even suicidal. You know, suicides are up significantly. That's because there's hopelessness. That's why we share the hope that's inside us. Give me a reason for the hope that's inside you. It may look bad, but let me tell you about Jesus. He pulled me out of the pit of despair. There's great joy ahead. It may look bleak, but there's great joy ahead. But these people are manipulated by the father of lies. And the threats and the narratives that spit out half-truths, that deceive many, that cause them to bury their head in the sand, like, nothing to see here. Nothing to see here. The onslaught is, it doesn't relent. It's unrelenting. And many are incapable of rebuttal to the lie because they don't know the truth. Their foundation is on sand, or they just come and hear a message on Sunday and they think that's going to keep the fire going for the week. It can't. I heard one pastor say, like, if you come and you think the fire is going to continue on for the week, your embers are going to burn out by Wednesday. Yeah. You have to feed the fire.
Yes, amen.
The word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow. Isn't that interesting? Soul, spirit, joints, and marrow. That's the three. That's the threefold of who we are. This tent, right? And the soul and the spirit inside us. And the word of God pierces all of it. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You can have the outward appearance to think you got it all put together, but God's word is a discerner of the thoughts of your heart. When you read this word, it exposes your heart. And you can see where you're coming up lacking. And it steps on your toes. And then there's other areas where you're edified. And you're like, praise the Lord. Right?
Yes. Amen.
But that's why you read the word of God.
Yeah.
You know, just I was listening the other day how the depth, height, and breadth of the Lord. I was listening to John Holler interview this man in Israel. His son is now fighting in the IDF. And the Jews, what they do is they cycle through the Torah. And the point of scripture that they were at was with Joseph, where Joseph was sold into slavery but in the pit. And that whole passage, he read it, and it hit him like a different level because of how Jacob felt with losing his son. And he never looked at it because he didn't have the right perspective. And now his son is going to fight, so he's kind of lost his son. His son isn't dead, but the word hit him in a different way. So that's why when you study and you're reading the word of God, it lights up something that's going on specifically to your life that day.
Yes.
What you're going through. What's coming. Because
yes.
The time that's coming on this earth, worldly wisdom is not going to do it, folks. It's of no use. The same goes for material wealth as we see economic transition, maybe destruction on the horizon. And the devil has no problem with the crowd that falls prey to narratives. Got them. He enjoys every bit of it when the helpless ones take the lies for truth. But Satan does take serious issue with the remnant that fervently clings to the truth, holds fast to the word of God, because you can see through the smoke screen. Yes, that's us. The people that put their trust in the living word know something. We know how the story ends, don't we? We know who has victory. Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me. And guess what? The understanding of that is not restricted just to the remnant. It's to all who ask, all who seek, all who knock. It'll be open to them. And the remnant, us, you watch men, you watch women, are aggressively on the offensive, sharing the truth that set you free. And that truth can set them free. Satan hates it when the lies are exposed. Jesus spoke to him. It is written. It is written. It is written. Each time the lie came, the temptation came. It is written. The word is our source of power. It keeps us focused on the blessed hope because the enemy knows his time is getting short. You can see through the thickest fog, and we are equipped to disciple others. Not by our own might, not by our own knowledge, but by the Holy Spirit inside you who leads you in all truth. The majority of the world falls under deception. They are like those who listen to the 10 out of the 12 spies. The bad report, right, in Numbers? You need to realize you are a minority at this point. Why the majority follow the ways of man, and wide is that way, right? The destruction narrow is the way to heaven, and few that be that find it. And the reality is we are bombarded every day with bad reports. And the enemy wants to create a fortress in your mind. You just learned that, right? The world wants to capture your attention, shift your focus off of Jesus, onto circumstances, onto what's trending now. The cares of the world. And that narrative is only going to intensify. So knowing that, you have to guard your ears. You guard your ears. You turn off the garbage. You turn off the lies. You turn off that deception, that frequency that's trying to create a stronghold in your mind. Proverbs 2, 1 through 14 says, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you," that's where you store it, right? "So that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures." Do you search this for the hidden treasures? You know what I'm talking about? Those little nuggets when you come up on that stuff, like Jen felt today. Yeah. That those nuggets of truth. And they excite you. She was excited to share because she found this treasure. And she wanted to share it with the body. Amen. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the path of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Man, that's good stuff, isn't it? Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity. Oh, man, that's a good one, right? Especially in today's world. Equity. Everyone's got to be equal. No, no, no. Equity in every good path. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you. You understand the season in which you live. That keeps you grounded. To deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things. There it is again, the lie. Twisting truth. It's perverting the truth. From those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. That makes me think about the false teachers. And Peter, Jude. who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked. Man, Scripture's awesome. So how, when the lie comes your way, or when what's presented to you, how do you look at it? Do you look at things with carnal eyes, or are you looking at things with spiritual eyes? Right? Caleb, regardless of what he saw the giants, we were like locusts, right? And he heard the report of the other 10, right? He knew it was contrary to the word. He says, Caleb quieted the people before Moses, like, hey, shut up. Let's go now. Let us go at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. He knew the promise of God. Just like Elisha, his servant, right? The armies of Syria, that's in 2 Kings 6, 14. His servant looks at the army of Syria coming out, like, what are we going to do now? And Elisha says, you know what? Pray. Pray that his eyes are opened. My master, what should we do? Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. God and you make a majority. Minority here on earth, but the in the spirit realm, you are a majority. Remember, Satan only took a third. 2/3 versus 1/3, right? So we put our faith and our trust and our hope in the Lord. He's for you, not against you. It requires now faith, right? We exercise that faith, and that allows us to stand fast in the times that we are. It gives us eyes of faith, like Elisha had, to see beyond the circumstances. Yes, you could be physically outnumbered on earth, but we are spiritually a majority. And as times intensify, you need to continue to trust in the Lord. Our hope is in Him. It's not in this world. You have a reservation in heaven with your name on it, an inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, and it does not fade away. It's reserved in heaven for you. That's what 1 Peter says. You are kept by the power of God through the faith of salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you have been grieved by various trials. Here it is, that the genuineness of your faith, being so much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Our God's faithful. That counters the lie. The one that wants to make you doubt in God, God is faithful. All his promises for certain. They're yes and amen, right? That's what 2 Corinthians 1:20 says. Deuteronomy 7, 9 through 10. Therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is the God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. And he's going to repay those who hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack with him who hates him. He will repay him to his face. Yep, that's coming. The earth dwellers will shake their fist at God. They hate God. They hate God. Haters of God. Isaiah 25 verse 1 says, O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things. Your counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. The Lord is with you. He's with you. We don't fear, right? The Lord is our light. He's our salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. That's why we can praise him in the storm. That spirit of thanksgiving, right? When you're in the storm, you praise him. Be anxious for nothing, Philippians 4, but in everything, prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving in your heart. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts. Here it is again. And minds through Christ Jesus. Where is the battlefield? The mind. You guys are getting quiet. When it gets bad, thank you, Lord. You have a plan for me.
That's right.
I know it's all going to work together for good, right? Right, Mama? We don't see it. We don't understand it. You don't need to. You need to trust in him. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Hath he not said it? Will he not do it? Will he not make it good? That's what the scripture says. Be courageous with your faith. Be brave. Know the promise. Watch, stand fast. 1 Corinthians 16:13. In the faith, be brave, be strong. Let all that you be done with love. Don't let the giant, the uncircumcised Philistine, tell you how things are going to be. David resisted that, right? In 1 Samuel, the Philistine, Goliath, is just, he's shouting across the valley. He's defying them. And as he spoke, this is his words. Hey, can you not hear Satan in this? And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. And when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. And David's like, who is this? Right? Do you remember that? Yeah. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine defying the armies of God? The Philistine came and draws near David, disdained with him. Think about the perverse things. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods, lowercase g. And the Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. That's a lie, wasn't it? That was a lie. And David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. Worldly weapons. Do you see it now? Do you see how it ties together? What we talked about in Ephesians 6? Worldly weapons. But I come to you. Not with a spear, not with a sword, not with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. That all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Mighty to tear down strongholds. He uses a rock to smash his head, and then he takes his own weapon and takes Goliath's head with it. Mm-mm-mm. God's word is so awesome. And the giant of the system that's out there continues to grow. And it's going to speak perverse things to it. Yeah. And the rock is going to smash it. Yes. So count it all joy. Amen. Beloved, count it all joy. Yeah. Don't think it's some strange concerning some fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you were approached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. For the spirit of glory and God rest upon you. On their part he is blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. So walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. You walk in the light. Darkness covers the land. You expose it with light. You are the light of the world because Christ is inside you. Proverbs 11:3 says the integrity, which is in Hebrew, tom, completeness, the innocence, the fullness. This is what we have in Christ. The definition of grace, what we cannot do and be on our own. God's empowering presence for us to do and be what we cannot do and be on our own. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity, which is kalib, to twist, to pervert, to distort, to overturn, to ruin. We certainly see that today, don't we? The perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. Their love for the untruth will destroy them. Christ sent you, the Holy Spirit, to lead you in all truth. That's how you combat the lies. You share the truth that sets you free. I'm getting close in here, a minute here, but you've been equipped. Don't say you haven't been. You have been.
Yes, amen.
This is an equipping here. What? 2 Timothy 3:16 through all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness.
Amen.
Why? That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Yes.
Don't let the enemy tell you you can't do this.
Yeah.
Well, you should go to seminary for 5 years. Then you can share the truth. Listen, when you take a stand, you're going to get resistance. It's going to happen. The enemy doesn't like it. Realize that. You got a mark on your back. A target. Because you're sharing truth that sets people free. And the Holy Spirit, Luke says, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say.
Yeah, amen. Amen.
And I know for some of you, you've experienced that.
Mm-hmm.
I've experienced it.
Mm-hmm.
Early days in my ministry, I remember talking to some people and I'm like, whoa, where did all that come from? I didn't know I knew all that word. I was quoting scripture. Like sometimes I have recall issues, but like, man, it was coming out of me. And that wasn't me. It wasn't head knowledge. That was the Holy Spirit, because it's been tucked away. My Father poured scripture into me and my family's life, my sister's life.
Yeah.
It's been poured. There's a foundation.
Yes.
It's been poured into our life. And it just comes out.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
1 Peter 4:11 says, anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory, dominion forever and ever. You have been chosen for such a time as this. You are light in the darkness. Do not believe the lies of the enemy. God is looking for people to share. He's looking over through the earth, looking for those who are going to share the good report. You are a minority, but mighty in the Lord. The world sees fear. The world sees distress. The world sees hopelessness. You have no spirit of fear. You have no distress, but power. And you have hope in Jesus Christ. Though we have tribulation in this world, you are an overcomer because he overcame. Amen. You have the promise of eternity, a kingdom that will not fail. Don't let the enemy tell you anything different.
Yeah.
Amen? Let's pray. Yeah. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for the power of your word, the ability to tear down the strongholds of the enemy that exists. We thank you for your truth that has set us free. Let us go and walk in that truth and give us the opportunity to share that with others, our family, our loved ones, our coworkers, our strangers that you put in front of us, Lord, that another name be written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. All to your glory, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. The church said, amen.
Amen.
You are dismissed.